For worship tonight, you will need two resources. One is the worship pamphlet, Come Let Us Worship, and the other is With One Voice. It's right here, I think. Yeah. Please turn to your With One Voice book 772. It's a familiar song that we sang last night, but I'd like to go through it. For the responses for prayer, we will be singing, O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. Now you may be able to do this without your books. That's why we're practicing it, so that while we're doing the prayers of the people, and Kristen says a petition and says we pray, this will be our response. Let's try it. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. Great. Great. Our service will follow the traditional order of liturgy. It's a liturgy created in most part by Murray McKeever. We will gather in song, and then we will come to hear words of scripture read by John and Elizabeth, and expounded upon by tonight's preacher, Warren Salveson. After hearing the good news of God's grace, we will receive an offering which will support LPF, Lutheran Peace Fellowship, and also the NICA Microloan Fund. And then we will gather around the table, what we have been waiting for, the table of this feast where Christ is both host and feast, where we will break bread with one another, old and young, rich and poor, neighbor and stranger. And after we celebrate the Eucharist, we will be sent out of this place, sent out to be God's bearers of forgiveness and mercy, God's bearers of justice in this world, sent out to lift up the lowly, the last, and the least, to be servants to our neighbors. During communion, a couple logistical things. We will have three stations for communion. At each station, you want to start with the person who has the bread. There will be a person giving the bread. And then there will be, next to that person, to their left, will be a common cup that you may drink from. If you choose individual cups, the next server will have an individual cup you may take, and the server to their left will have, or to your right, their left, will have a flagon of wine, and then the final flagon will be a flagon of grape juice, and then you may deposit your cup with the final server. So you may choose between common cup or individual cups. These two sections will go to the line that will be right in front of us, to the line that I'll be at. Warren will start the line that will serve these two sections right over here, and then these two sections will be served by the line that's facing on that side of the table. If that's at all confusing, don't worry, just get to a line and receive the body and blood of Christ. That's what the important thing is tonight. So if there's a line that's open that seems like it's finished, just skip your line and come to that one. So it's all about serving at the table. That's what's important. Many thanks to those who serve, to Kristen Gilia, the assisting minister, and to Sonia, who will lead us in song. And so come. Come, let us worship God. Welcome everyone to this place where we eat and meet God's abundant grace. Welcome.
Oh,
Let us pray. Oh God, you have called us to be servants, servants of your word, your justice, your mercy. Fill us with your grace and compassion, that we too may be bearers of your mercy and justice in this world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. A reading from the 10th chapter of Jeremiah. Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, or be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, for the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are false. A tree from the forest is cut down, and worked with an axe by the hands of an artisan. People deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammers and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor is it in them to do good. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O ruler of the nations? For that is your due. Among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their realms, there is no one like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction given by idols is no better than wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. They are the work of the artisan and of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is blue and purple. They are like the product of skilled workers. But the Lord is the true God, the living God and the everlasting ruler. And at the Lord's wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure the Lord's indignation. This is the word of life.
Psalm 56. Show me your mercy, God. The enemy marches over me, attacks me all day long. My foes trample me down. How many fight against me? When I am afraid, I trust you, Most High God. I glory in your promise. I trust without fear. Can flesh and bone hurt me? All day they twist my words, plotting evil against me. They hide themselves, lurking, listening for my steps, waiting to take my life. Can nations escape their crimes? In your anger, God, cast them down. Weigh all my turmoil, store up my tears. Do you not record them all? When I call to you, my enemies retreat. I am certain of this. God is on my side. I glory in your promise, God. O Lord, your word I praise. I trust you without fear. How can mortals hurt me? I will fulfill my vows, O God, offer gifts to thank you. For you saved me from death, kept my feet from its brink. I walk with you, God, in the light of your life. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans 5. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we now stand. and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, God died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But it is proof of God's own love for us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of the Son of God, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by the life of the Son of God. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel lesson from Matthew, the 20th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. While Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 aside by themselves and said to him on the way, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and a Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests, the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and the third day he will be raised." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked to favor him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one on your right hand and one on your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And he said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by God." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. This will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great amongst you will be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you will be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When I was a child, I loved trucks. And one day I remember my mother invited a person into our kitchen, and there was cookies and coffee in the kitchen. So I was under the table and I had the truck and I was making all kinds of noise, and they were trying to talk and I was going and finally Mrs. Olson says to me, "Warren, what are you going to be when you will grow up?" And he said, you know. Finally, my mother said, "Warren, Mrs. Olson asked you, what are you going to be when you grow up?" I said, "A garbage tractor." And I went on and on and on. And my mother said to Mrs. Olson, "Well, you know, he loves trucks, but we hope it will be something else in the future." Well, I wish my mother was on staff today because when I was going to share the gospel with the important theologians of the West Coast, I had garbo duty this morning. And I was sorting out toothpaste and Kleenex and brown bottles and clear bottles and green bottles and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, thinking of this sermon. Well, the Gospel of Matthew, I read one commentator. The book of Mark says, "James and John asked Jesus for to be on the right and the left side." But Matthew says, "Zebedee's mother asked." And the commentator says, Matthew was so embarrassed with the disciples that he blamed it on his mother. Now, that could be true, but it's not only a mother that has ambitions for a child. It is also a father. And I remember one day in the parish, I was sitting in preparing for Easter, and a young man in the parish came to talk to me, and he was a student at MIT. And he came home, and it was his senior year. So he came in, and he said, "I want to talk to you, Warren." I said, "Fine." He said, "My father asked me what I was going to do. And it was Easter, and he said, my father was reading the paper, and he said, Greg, what are you going to do now?" And just offhanded. And Greg said, "You know, Dad, I'm glad you asked. I am thinking about the Peace Corps or working in a co-op in Boston, because I really like the people at the co-op." And her father put down the paper. And he said, "Greg, how will you use your engineering degree and your work?" Greg said, he wasn't really asking that. He said, "I spent $60,000 on your education, and you're going to work at a co-op or the Peace Corps." The father wanted the kingdom on the right and the kingdom on the left. And all of a sudden, the son wasn't going to reform that way. James and John and the mother questioned Jesus to be on the right hand and the left hand. And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking for. Really don't know. But I think the key is here. Jesus doesn't reject them. He doesn't reject them. After he goes through the third prediction, he doesn't reject them. He invites them. He invites them anyway. And he said, "Can you drink this cup that I am about to drink?" And he said, "Yes, we are able. We are able to drink the cup." Then Jesus places before them the dilemma of the Gentile kingdom and his kingdom. They are different. The Gentile kingdom is filled with power and control. And James and John know that, and they are interested in that. But Jesus invites them out of that kingdom. Just out of that kingdom. We know about the kingdom. My last interim was in Redwood City, California, in the midst of the Silicon Valley. That kingdom is magnified. The people on the right hand and on the left hand, working hard to be on the left hand and the right hand. But we don't have to talk about Silicon Valley. We can view ourselves. Young man came to me one day and he was going to take his first parish. And it happened to be 500 miles from the Senate office. And he said to me, Warren, will the bishop ever notice me out there? I want to go someplace else. I said, you got to serve where you go. You don't go with an agenda to be on the right hand or the left hand. You go to serve. Like a phone call I got from a friend this summer. He had an associate that he was working with for a year and a half, and she got a call to another parish, and she said to him, "This is the parish I want to go to because my dream is to be a bishop." We can go on and on. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm here. That's right. Yeah. We have a thought, the Gentile kingdom is in us. But God keeps inviting us. And we keep saying, we can drink the cup. We can drink the cup because of the invitation, not the rejection. One of the fortunate things of being in the Holy Village is that you're ministered unto. When you're in a parish alone, like many of you are, you hear yourself speak too often. That's right. Yeah. But when you're here, you are ministered to. And one of the first nights I was here, there was a young man named Joe, and he gave a concert to us. And he had a song about the homeless, about the homeless. And the one thing, one of the phrases in that song says, the homeless are looking for scraps of love. Just scraps of love. And when we were listening to that song, I knew of three people that had worked with the homeless in that audience, the audience that night. And I looked at their faces. They were hearing the song. And I recognized that I was looking at homeless as a group. They were seeing faces. Faces. One of the persons was the young woman I confirmed in Greeley, Colorado, Michelle Capron. And Michelle went to Washington with the Lutheran Service Corps to work with the homeless. And she told me how the homeless became her friends. She cried and laughed, and they became her friends. And then she said to me, Warren, I have turned a corner. I have turned a corner. I can't go back. She was invited to drink the cup, and she drank the cup of servanthood. Now she can't go back. After this, she said that, I thought about myself 2 weeks earlier being in New York City. Part of my life, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I was in New York 12 years ago. And I was in Grand Central Station walking over the homeless and all the things in the, on the streets of New York 12 years ago. But this time, we were in New York for a day, and I saw no homeless, no drunks on the street. And Sonia and I went to Saigon, and we were coming out at 11 o'clock at night, and there was one homeless person on the street and five cops around him. Five. Around one person. When I get home, I told my aunt, well, New York is clean and, you know, it's really something. Then I talked to Michelle. And I wonder, that homeless person, a face, a person that she knows, not a homeless person that you get off the street. all of a sudden I thought, Warren, you're thinking like the Gentile community. You're safe to walk to the train. And the cops are taking the homeless off of the streets. I go back and forth, back and forth. Yet I am invited. I am invited to drink the cup. I am naive and a broken person, yet I am invited to drink the cup. This week, some of you heard Ed Nesterhoff, the cowboy poet. Ed works with Prison Ministries of America. And Ed gave me a picture of the prison ministries of America. And it's a picture of bars. Bars, and the hands are going through the bars, just through the bars. Wrinkled hands, hand with hate written on it. And coming through the bars, and on the other side of the bars is the grapes and the bread. I went home that night and looked at the picture. And I was very taken by the picture. And I came back to Ed the next morning and said, Ed, thank you, thank you. This picture is meaningful to me. And he said, Warren, when you see the bars, are the cans reaching into the prison or out of the prison? I never thought of that. I thought they were reaching out. All of a sudden, I remember a man in Iowa that I spoke to this summer that is involved in prison ministry. He is a farmer. And during harvest season or any season, he will go to the prison 3 days a week if they have the service, because he has been filled with the life in the prison and from the prisoners. And his hand is reaching into the prison to receive life. And the sacrament is in the prison. And I saw the word hate. And I thought, obviously, it's from the prison. But I remember in Greeley, Colorado, when they were going to build the prison in our area, the hands were filled with hate because the value of the property will go down. But yet we are invited. We are invited. And the bars that we have, whether they be in relationship, whether they be in greed, or whatever they are, we can reach through the bars to the table and receive, because we are invited to the table. And when we receive body and blood of Christ, we pray that the bars may melt and be broken down when we receive not the scraps of love, not the straps of love, but the bread of life. Amen.
Amen.
hymn of the day is 711. Let us pray for all in need, for the church, and for the whole creation.
Amen.
God of wisdom, help us each to examine our lives honestly, to find where we strive for false greatness, for self-centered and aggrandizing motives. Turn us instead to the abundant, creative life of the one who gives to others for the sake of the world, your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. God of new life, grant us vision to see the will to turn around, to live a different life for the sake of your whole creation. We pray especially for those we leave behind in our selflessness, to see the faces of the homeless and the hungry, the sick and the weary. And we pray for the earth itself, that we may see it as your holy and sacred creation. Oh, Lord, hear our prayer. Oh, Lord, hear our prayer. When I call, answer me. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. For what else do the people pray?
For all who work for democracy, especially in East Timor, Indonesia, and all places where dictatorships are failing. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For our colleague George Cheney and all people living with HIV and AIDS, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Is he ill as she has surgery in the morning for her family? Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, for Mama Sue, E.T., Purdy Jimmy, and all the other homeless who live on Haight Street in San Francisco, help them prepare for the winter, give them clothing and shelter, help them continue to believe in your spirit and the holy meal, and all the other peoples like them throughout the world. Help them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the millions of people in prison and jails throughout the world. Have mercy on them, O Lord. Help them to feel your comfort and your presence. Help them to perceive that you are with them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all women being treated for breast cancer, especially Sally, Susie, and Mary.
Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah. Hear our prayer.
For Ed and Bonnie Kaiser, we pray your blessing, O Lord, tonight.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Gracious God, who loves us all the same, I pray especially tonight for those of us who are called to ordain ministry, who have had the door closed to us, those of us who are gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, divorced. Lord, help us in the church to know what it means to have this happen and help us open the door to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the peace of St. Michael and all angels, everlasting God, you've ordained and constituted in a wonderful order the ministries of angels and mortals. Mercifully grant that as your holy angels always serve and worship you in heaven, so by your appointment they may help and defend us here on earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those who have health and joy in their life, let them recognize the grace of God in their life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, I pray for ministers, leaders in the church, those gathered here especially. Pray that you will give them rest, help them to find retreat where they live, time to read, time to pray, time to listen, time to be ministered to. To ask your special blessing on them that they may be good leaders, life-giving leaders. In your name we pray. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Bless, we pray, those who are about to leave this place. Plant your spirit firmly in their hearts, that they may return renewed, encouraged and refreshed as servants of your reign of peace and justice in this world. O Lord, hear our prayer.
Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.